Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2. Proverbs 19 and verse 2, and it reads, Also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. In other words, in addition to what we've said, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And it says, he that hasteth with his feet, it says, all right, with his feet, sinneth. All right? So in addition to what he had said about integrity, he said the soul that is without knowledge is not a good thing. And that soul, right, why doesn't he have this knowledge? Before getting and acquiring knowledge, he hasted with his feet and therefore sinneth. So it doesn't take time to acquire relevant knowledge, but hastily goes out in execution. And the word sinneth means to miss the mark. That's original thought there. That is, the Bible says, all have sinned and have fallen short. So they go out to execute, but fall way short of the intended mark, and it's because their soul is void of knowledge. And what we're speaking about in this last session on innovation is about how the Holy Spirit partners with us in this process of innovation. And innovation is about creating the ability to create, as it were, fresh ideas, fresh thoughts, new ideas and new thoughts in order to be able to solve a particular problem or surmount a specific challenge. Innovation cannot be done in abstract terms. It is not about daydreaming. It's about a person who has a specific thing before them, and they do not have any idea how that thing at the beginning will happen, but have a deep-seated conviction inside their heart that this thing has a solution, and therefore they go through the process, all right, of innovating in order to come out with the desired result. So we are looking at the Holy Spirit here. We want to look at the practical steps in employing the Holy Spirit as our partner in this process. And the first thing we've got to understand is that, and I'll show this, is that the Holy Spirit is going to use the same material that is available to men on the earth. That same material. All right, the same knowledge, the same information. But the outcomes are going to be drastically different. Same information. It's like saying that there's much food in the tillage of the poor. We are not taking him to another ground, same ground, right? But there is what is called want of judgment or discernment. So somebody else gets on that ground and becomes highly productive. But the outcomes are going to be different. Exposed to the same information, but different results. So we are looking at the process through which the Holy Spirit operating in us influences our minds and creates insights and combinations in our thought life that no other person has been able to recognize or see. So how the Holy Spirit, first of all, influences our minds. That is the same way it tells us, don't be drunk with wine, wherein its excess, it says, but be filled with the Spirit. A man who gets drunk, the wine there gets into his brain, every part, and his thought systems, everything seems messed up there. But now the Holy Spirit also enters into all those places. And now what he does is that he gives us, one look at his process here, all right, gives us, creates insight into that same information. and combinations of thoughts that no other person without the assistance of the Spirit could have seen that way. So the first thing we've said here is you want to solve a definite problem. Then you've got to understand that I've got to gather material, which is information, we'll look at this, in order to solve that particular problem. Right? Now, first of all, understand that in tackling problems and situations, that's when something happens in your consciousness. It is opened up to receive new information. As one great evangelical said, that the soul never imbibes truth in living power except it requires it. Once it's required and it understands that I need it, information, it knows that that's what it needs, and you have intelligently opened yourself up onto that, you will be amazed, what will begin to go on the inside of you. So the problem you are trying to solve or the challenge you are trying to surmount is a powerful or the powerful force in directing you as to how you gather material. Now, let me just say, what do we mean by innovating here? And innovation is powerful. I mean, look at what Proverbs says here. Solomon said in Proverbs 8 and verse 11, talking about the value of wisdom. He said, it's more precious than rubies, and there's nothing that you desire, it's better than rubies, and all things that you might desire cannot be compared to it. Why? What does wisdom do that gives it that much value? Next verse. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out the knowledge of witty inventions. Which means brings about plans. I dwell with prudence. I find out the knowledge. Produces knowledge of plans there, how to go about things. So wisdom finds out the knowledge there of witty inventions. So I want to look at this thing. Now, let me give an example of this. Why material is so important. Now, if a person, now God forbid, you're driving, something goes wrong with your car, and then the bonnet is opened up. So you stand, before that car, the bonnet is opened up, and you now want to find a solution to what's wrong with your car. Now, you start thinking, and what you're trying to do is to gain insight or combinations in order to know what to do. But you are limited by the information you have. That's the material you are working with. Even though you are very intelligent, you are limited by the material. So all the material you have, number one, is, I remember one day we were driving and a car stopped and they said the fan belt caught. So you check the fan belt. Then another day, I remember that, water finished in the radiator in somebody's car. Then you check whether there's water. After those two things, that's all. Now, what happens? You are stuck. You are frustrated. So somebody starts walking past. Oh, it's a roadside mechanic. He comes there, and he looks. Now, he has more freedom and liberty than you because he has information. So he has a lot of material now to process to find out what is wrong with your car. He says, start the engine. Start it there. And then it begins to tinker with things. Now, if it's your own mechanic, depending on the way you have behaved, maybe he decides to drop the engine, which might not be necessary, but because the last time he just turned some screws, he said, give me 5,000. He said, 5,000 for what? For what? Please take 500 now. So he knows the type of person you are. So he understands, if I will get 10,000 today, drop the engine. Now that is to tell you that treat these people right. Are you following what I'm saying here? So that when it's not necessary to drop the engine, they know that you're a good person and you give them money. But what he does is that he begins to process all that material. Now if you had that material, if you feel that you are more intelligent, you'll be able to combine faster. But you don't have the material. So you are not in the game. Are you following what I'm saying here? You are not playing there. He combines and says, that's it. All right? You stand before somebody, you like the person, you love this person, the person is ill, right? And then they call a doctor. What's the difference between you and the doctor? The doctor has the material. Doctor stands before and begins to make the connections as to what might be wrong. Looks at the eyes, remembers. Just all of that is going on. Remembers this and all of that, all right? And they're not even consciously remembering, but this information has gotten to a place that just coming out, all right, this might be the problem, this might be, and then concludes, all right, based on the combination of things, and says, this is it. All right, give this person this injection, or put this person, all right, on this, all right, form of drugs here, and we'll see what will happen there. Now, you might say that, well, when we were in primary school, I used to come first, and this person used to come sixth, and I beat the person throughout the entire class. I'm more intelligent. But your intelligence counts for nothing because you don't have the material. So the combination, all right, that you needed to make, all right, you don't even have the material to be able to make those connections right there. And that's why you might have the intelligence of God in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. But we are talking about becoming a better doctor. Get what we're saying? We are not talking about becoming a better worshiper. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We are talking about becoming a better lawyer. We are talking about becoming a better furniture maker. We are talking about becoming, all right, a better person at hospitality, which is what you do. So it is that material that you are now going to expose, all right, to the Holy Spirit there in you, who is now going to think through your mind and help in making the connections there and pass that message across to your mind. And bingo, it says, here is the solution. These are the thoughts that you actually need. So what happens is he wants to make these combinations on the inner side of you, right? But without the material, that the links, all right, you have nothing that you can use to do that. The Holy Spirit, as it were in quotes now, is left handicapped. He cannot function. And what happens most of the time, why we are not gathering information, why we are not prioritizing knowledge, why we are not paying attention, is that people are looking for the spectacular. People, all right, are thinking about God in terms of the spectacular. What do I mean? They are thinking about the power of God, which means that without any information, I will just sit down and the Holy Ghost will just give it to me. Bam! All right? That I'll just spend time fasting and praying and the Holy Ghost will just give me. Bam! That will be it. And that's how I'm going to find out what I want to do. And the spectacular is left to the sovereignty of God, and he does it according to his will. But the supernatural is a process. All right, and we've got to look at that supernatural process. Someone says, well, the spectacular, if God decides to do, God decides. In other words, Jesus walked on water, but we said this, that wasn't his now, all right, default mode of transportation. Something was going on, God in his sovereignty wanted. I mean, when Jesus started his ministry, he said, lend me your boat. He could have gone there if he was standing on water, was what you just do at will. He just have gone to stand on water, and you feel that standing on water for, you know, to preach there will have more impact on the people. That when they see you on water, they'll say, man, what you are saying must be right. But I'm telling you that if they see you on water, they will not even pay attention to what you are saying. All right? It's the water that you are standing on they'll be looking at. They won't listen to anything. Right? So there's a process there to it. And because we don't have real respect for this process, and we circumvent this process here, this is what, all right, actually, all right, doesn't make Christians on the earth here, right, be as impactful as they ought to be, right? Jesus entered a boat one time and he got to the shore. They mean that every time Jesus entered your boat, you got to the shore there. So people are looking for that, and they're bypassing everything. Paul got saved. Nobody talked to him. A light shone in the heavens, and he fell to his feet. He didn't go through. There was no altar call, nothing. And Paul was born again. In fact, it wasn't what we will preach that happened to Paul. Now, we can't say that, all right, let us wait for that kind of experience to cause people to give their lives to Christ. We go through the supernatural. That how can they believe except they hear? And how can they hear except there's a preacher? And how can they preach except they are sent? And so we go through that. And so I want to look at the process here through which, because the outcome is the same, right? Which means whether it's spectacular or supernatural, but supernatural, you can walk it there. The spectacular, God is the one. Now, a man might be going through a shipwreck, and the only way out is that man jumps, all right, out of the boat, and this man cannot swim, and God has, you know, is in position with God, and the rest can swim. God says, the rest of you swim, only you walk on water. Are you following what I'm saying? All right? Because, all right, that's an arrangement from God. The rest cannot say, why is he walking on water? And we too are not walking on water. All right? So we understand the process here and go through it. And many times this is what people are looking for. And what I want to ask you, this thing you are looking for, let us test it. That many people have put their entire lives on. Now you are about to board a plane. And then you saw a man who was dressed as a pilot, praying in tongues. Magrotos. In my going out, I am blessed. And in my coming in, I am blessed. No evil shall stand, and you are happy. Then you ask him, where did you train as a pilot? He said, nothing like that. What information do you have about this plane? No information. But I guarantee you, brother. I guarantee you, sister. We, by the Holy Ghost, will lift this plane up. And the angel will support us, for he shall not cause us to dash our foot against a stone. You will look at it and say, I just met a madman that wants to fly. Are you from Kenya? You are not going in. But why do we do our lives like that? Why do we go into business without information? We pace the floor. In my going out, I am blessed. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, if that man was a well-qualified pilot, and then he goes and says, in my going out, we are blessed. In my coming in, you get rest assured. Because you know there's a combination of the spiritual with the natural. You'll go out and talk about him. My pilot today was born again Christian. Smart guy. Very spiritual. All right? Solid guy. And all of that. All right? And all of that. But you will not risk going into something. All right? If someone says, God orders my steps, all right? If he orders my steps, he orders my hands. I will operate without being a doctor. The invisible hand of the Almighty. She said we should lay. Didn't he say we should lay our hands on the sick? I'm laying my hands. You will tell him, stop. Are you following what I'm saying? But why do we do that in the night? So you go and meet a person and says, I'm going into business. And you ask him, have you read things? He says, what are you talking about? The Holy Ghost will order my steps and write to me. Are you following what I'm saying here? The Holy Ghost needs material. I want to show you this. And when you give him the material, your brilliance level just skyrockets. And what happens is nobody, because what you are seeing in the material there, no other person on earth can see it. Except their mind goes through that process that you subjected your own mind to. Which is bring it under the influence. The same way a person takes alcohol and it affects the state of his mind. You also have taken in the Holy Ghost and it has affected the state of your mind and put your mind at one place where it can see and understand things that the natural mind cannot. All right? Now, what are these examples? Look at Daniel chapter 1 here. Now, people keep believing things. It doesn't produce anything in their life, but they just keep believing it. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17. That's what happened to Daniel and his friends. We'll see it in the life of Daniel. We'll see it in the life of David. We'll also see it in the life of Jesus. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all wisdom and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had an understanding of all visions and dreams. And in verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in their realm. So what happened was, the same information was presented to Daniel and his friends. with the other folks. And at the end, a test was taken, or conducted by the king. And the king asked the questions based on the information he gave to the boys. He said, they should study. We'll see it. And they found them to be 10 times better in every form of wisdom. Every form of wisdom. I mean, after I finished second service, on my way to the island, someone sent me a text from England. She was watching, and she used to be in church. All right, she's in Port Harcourt now. Okay, and she used to work in the office. And she went to Imperial College, and she said, I remember, I said, what you are saying, so on point. She said, I remember, you know, I got there late, and I had this course on nuclear physics, so we are not playing here, all right? Nuclear physics, okay? You understand what I'm saying? Physics is enough, nuclear. Physics, yeah. She said, I had missed the lectures, and the test was good, so I asked them to give me the videos because they record everything. So I sat down with it and with the Holy Ghost. Said, and I began to listen to that and began to listen to the lectures again. She said, when the test was done a week after, she came first. She said, the Holy Spirit gave me insight into what was being taught. But I'm saying that if she stayed at home and was confessing, nuclear physics, are you following what I'm saying here? And they gave the test. All right? They might ask at the end, advice to withdraw, because you will show you don't know anything, all right, concerning what they have just said. You say, can't God open the brain and put nuclear physics inside? It is true. But I ask you, can God open the womb and be dropping children inside the womb? Can't he do it? He can. Why isn't that only one person has been born that way? Jesus. The rest of us came through. Isn't it God? It's God. Is it supernatural? Are you following what I'm saying here? But there's a process. You understand what I'm saying here? This is what we're saying here. There's a process here. But to come and say that, I can't God do it, can you open the brain? He can now. All right? So Daniel here, 10 times. Now this is a picture we need to paint. A financial institution. Now gets, all right? Now, they had 10 times, which means when they did the test, others got 15% or 8 from 11% to 8%. Daniel and his friends got from 98% to 100. Four of them. Now, so I want to ask you, four of them in every subject, what do you think the king would do? He tested. Number one, these guys are the future of this establishment. Number two, anything they really want, he's ready to give them. Because he doesn't want to let go of his talent. Number three, he wants to keep this talent. And look, when they were 10 times, we are not talking about the dullards in the place. They were in competition with the best brains. How do we know? Look at verse 4. All right, from verse 3. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain children of Israel, and king's seed, and of the princes. Children in whom there was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So they taught them. And this, when they came out, they found them 10 times. So somebody recruits people and says, train the brightest. They're all first class graduates. Train them for this job. And at the end of the training, examine. 10%, 12%, 10%. Then they see 9,800, four of them consistently. They test them again, they find them that way. Now, do you actually think salary will be a problem? Promotion will be a problem? Do you think when the boss says there's a trouble in a department and they say one of those guys are there, he will say, look, tell that guy to go and handle it? Are you following what I'm saying? Because of what he has demonstrated. And how did he get there? By him exposing himself to that information and bringing 10 times more understanding. Now, what happens to us, right? Our own understanding is this. We do not expose ourselves to the relevant information. We don't think we need it. But we now start pacing. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He turns it whichever way he wants. He turns his heart towards me, for my promotion is coming from God. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, what we should do, and when we look at the sword of the Spirit, we look at the sword of the Spirit as the Holy Ghost taking that sword and cutting the head of demons outside. Pa! But have we ever seen a beheaded demon? I mean, since the Holy Ghost has been using the sword there, they should have died. Now, they should have cut the head off. The sword of the Spirit, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes inside you. So when the Holy Spirit gets the sword, he does something inside you that makes you a changed person. You are now a supernatural person. And a supernatural person cannot be put down. Do you get what I'm saying here? You can't take somebody. That's why God is not talking about, you know, promoting honestly. He's not saying that unmerited favor is that in, quote and unquote, a person's daftness, we just promote the person. What he is saying is that through unmerited favor, you will be able to understand information better than any person. All right? And then when you now, nobody knows it's the unmerited favor that made you that sharp. They will tell you are so brilliant, but you know it's God that made you that. Are you following what I'm saying here?
Thank you for listening.